Blog Talk Radio.
We got it.
And here we are again. Welcome to the Community Love Power Show. This is Yah Elohim, Yellow Rhythmic Seed, and the time is now. I don't get to say that as much as I used to. So we're here this evening with a very powerful program. It's all about the economics. That was Delroy Wilson coming into the program, our entrance. We're all in this thing together, and we are all in this thing together. And we've got to unite, cooperate, and make the changes that are needed in our lives. We are the ones that we've been looking for. It's not an outside force that's going to come in as a savior and make everything tra-la-la. We are the ones that must work together, knowing that we're all connected. So we have a really powerful program this evening. It is recorded, however, so we won't be able to take any live calls. We are interviewing Baba Maji and Baba Youssef of the 40 Mile Family, which is a Black credit union. So we're going to open up the show just starting to put some context into the recorded interview that we'll launch at about 6:25. So in order to give some context for what it is we're going to be talking about, let's start off by looking at Black generational wealth. What is generational wealth? Well, let's take a few moments and look at the wealth gap between Blacks and whites and get an understanding of what generational wealth is all about. It's not your salary. It's not what you make on your job.
The wealth gap between Blacks and whites is getting wider. According to a new Brandeis University study, the wealth gap between African Americans and white people has ballooned since the Reagan administration, nearly tripling between 1984 and 2009. How does this disparity exist today?
It's always existed. I feel as though, in terms of African Americans, even when we're educated, even when we're in college and we have master's degrees and PhDs, we start off with a huge student loan debt. So we come out of school and we're already behind the eight ball in terms of where our money goes. We don't get a chance to save. We don't immediately start thinking about home ownership because we have to pay those student loans off. And if we don't, then we're in a situation where our credit is impacted. And then that slows you down too in terms of building your credit and buying a home.
The downturn has had a much bigger impact on minority communities than it did on whites. And part of that is that there was a large gap to start with. And much of that has to do with the fact that, number one, Blacks are far less likely to inherit from extended family. They are less likely to own their homes. When they do own their homes, they're valued lower on average than comparable homes that whites own. They're also less likely to invest in the stock market. And they have a higher unemployment rate. And we should be clear that wealth is everything that you have in savings and investments that are assets. And it's really something that is different from income. Income is how you live day to day. Your wealth is what you pass on to your family. It's what you pay for college for your children. It's those kinds of things.
So essentially, the numbers are it would take 280 years at the current economic movement if for Blacks to catch up with whites, if whites stay where they are right now. So it's a multi-generation. That's roughly 10 generations behind. So that starts to put it in context. So we know in terms of the African American economy is roughly $1.1 trillion in 2015. So, and there are Black institutions that already exist. Most major cities, especially in the Northeast Corridor, have at least one Black-owned bank. Are they really Black-owned? Some are and some aren't. And you would actually have to do your research to find out which are and which aren't. You know, we can definitely assist with that. But this is where to start looking. Black-owned banks and credit unions.
You know, we are definitely in support of the Bank Black movement. And the Bank Black movement is more successful than any protest that we have ever done as of recent. Now, you can get in the street all day and you can say Black Lives Matter, which they do. But while you're screaming Black Lives Matter, while you have agitators that show up in the crowds, try to throw things at police, trying to get them to start firing or being violent toward protesters, you get nothing done at all. When you go out there to screaming, you can do die-ins, you can do all this stuff that you want to do. Nothing is happening. But when the black people of America said, we are tired of funding our oppression, when we have said that, you know what, it is insanity to sit here and cry about racism, cry about oppression, yet giving our money to the very people who are doing this to us, now we got our heads together finally, and we're going to start moving our funds from banks that have been caught in all kind of racial discrimination lawsuits, caught giving us adjustable rate mortgages while they gave white people regular mortgages, and how we lost a lot of our homes, how these companies like Bank of America, your Chase, Wells Fargo, how they invest millions of dollars in the private prisons, which also affect our oppression. We can no longer bank with people that wants to subjugate and oppress us and has been sued by the federal government for discrimination. So what we decided to do based upon the killings of Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, and every other brother and sister that lost their life due to police brutality and they refused to give us justice, we said that if you refuse to give us justice, you're not going to get our black dollars. So we start removing our black dollars from these banks and start going to the black-owned bank. Now, as you see, a lot of people have been asking, where can I find a black-owned bank? And the issue that I've seen with the black-owned banks is they don't invest a whole lot of money in the marketing. And what I'm going to do is I'm definitely going to have a meeting with someone at Union Bank and tell them, what can we do to partner so we can start spreading the word at least about Union Bank here in Houston. And maybe we try to get in contact with some other banks and see how we could help out with them. So this is one way we can do this. So on this, you know, Blackout Coalition website, it has all over the country where you can open up a black bank. So the green dots, as you see at the top, will say anyone can set up an account with One United Bank from any state, which is a black-owned bank. Now, you notice most of the black-owned banks and credit unions are more so within the South or this section of the country. But if you live in, you know, different states, as you can see here, all the green dots, you can still use One United Bank to go with a black-owned bank. Now, in California, you still have Broadway Federal Bank here in L.A., and you actually have a One United Bank branch, but you can join online if you're not in that area. But different people wanted to know, if you live in the Dallas area, you see you got Mount Olive, you have Faith Cooperative, and you have Oak Cliff Christian. Here's the Union Bank, Louisiana, as you can see here. I'm going to scroll through them real quick. Mississippi, all the way up. So I'm definitely, you know, the link will always be in the description box on every video that you can go here and look for a black bank in your area. Now, I had a white supremacist troll told me, well, you know, white people is not going to miss your $300 that you had in savings. And that's quite funny because I'm going to show you just one little story, not even all of it, on this website here. You know, now, right here in Houston, they say they got 700 new customers open up accounts in 1 week, which is awesome, when they say normally they only get 8 to 10. Now, the president of Unity Bank, a local pastor told him, as you can see here, they're going to take out $250,000 from Chase Bank and put it inside of Unity Bank. Now, there's been other banks that say they have seen $1.25 million in new deposits from the black community. I guess that's a little more than $300, white supremacist troll. And I have another story that's from one other bank to say they've seen $4 million in new deposits, but I'm going to do that when I get on camera to continue to inform you guys how banking black is actually working. We are doing a good thing. We are finally not being insane to keep funding our oppression. Because let me tell you something. All the militarized vehicles and all them guns and tactical gear and all that mess they got, they can't do nothing to you when you move your money. See, it's all about economics, brothers and sisters. Every other community do economics, period. The Jews do it, Asians, Arabs, Hispanics, whites, all of them do that except us. And we have to change the landscape by fixing our money. Now, once we bank black, we can start getting the loans that we need. We don't have to worry about being denied due to our color of our skin. We don't have to worry about a black bank investing in the private prisons. Or we don't have to worry about them discriminating on us with hiring and all kind of other stuff that happens at these other banks. And it's literally documented, and I'm going to show you in another video, the documented cases that's happened to a lot of these major banks that you have your money in. And it's really insanity for us to have our money in banks that's constantly being sued for racial discrimination by the federal government. So I definitely want to just provide this for you guys as info, as tips, so you can find a black bank in your area. Remember, we don't need permission to do anything with our money. We don't need to hear nobody's mouth to tell us anything but what we choose to do with our hard-earned money. We are actually protesting peacefully when we do this, and we're going to change the landscape of our community once we do this. So I definitely wanted to make sure you guys have this info, so keep banking black. Leave me some comments, and make sure you subscribe.
Okay, so that is some info about why and where black-owned banks are. I thought that was pretty articulate. And the last thing we're going to look at before we open up the line for our co-host is a little bit of before you put your money in a black-owned bank. So which banks are black-owned, which are actually black-owned? You know, so we're going to get a little inside information on that for a couple of minutes, open up the line for our co-host, Dr. Jatta, and bring in our interview of Baba Maji and Baba Yusa. But before you put your money in a black-owned bank, consider this.
All praises unto the Most High Yah. I thank him for your lives, and you are welcome. All right, guys, there's so much that's going on. There's so much that I want to speak to you about briefly. One of the things that I want to post right now is on the discussion of Black Americans, African Americans, however you identify yourselves, moving their money to black banks, okay? And when I say there, I'm African American as well, Black American, but I'm speaking about those who are moving their money to black-owned banks. Doesn't mean that I will not or do not currently hold an account with a black-owned bank, and this is not against that. What I am wanting to do is to say, you know, great job, excellent job at wanting to have black representation managing your money, okay, and that's a great thing. Others are doing it for various reasons, to show people that, hey, we don't have to do business with you, and I want to go somewhere where I'm respected. And for others, it's a part of the economic boycott that some people are have committed themselves to following, all right? So I'm not sure if it's an official economic boycott. For some people, it's just a statement of enough is enough, all right? And I think that's great if that's what you would like to do. Now, I do have people of various ethnicities on this channel, and you're welcome to share. But if you find that these shares are race baiting, or if you find the discussion of race uncomfortable, then you're not going to enjoy being on this channel, except when I'm speaking against the wrongs in the things that do not affect you or do not correct you. That's the thing, okay? Or that are not aimed to correct you, because it's up to you. It's up to me to make that decision to allow truth to correct us, okay? But I want to say to those of you who are doing it, who have already done it, or who currently may be holders of bank accounts in minority-owned or minority-ran banks, just want to say to us, this is a share to let you know that it's important for us to educate ourselves, okay? Because when we are transferring money over to another bank and you're telling people, yeah, I'm banking with a black-owned bank now, I'm taking my money out of, you know, the man's system, well, we have to get a clear understanding that the money is still in the man's system, And one of the things that we want to do is just, you know, even when you're speaking with someone and you're communicating with them, let them know that I am aware that this money is still in the system. I am aware that it's still ran by whom many call the man, all right? But educate yourself so that when eventually they do come out and say the joke is on Black Americans who've moved all their money because the banks that they're banking with are owned by a majority-owned white companies, be prepared for that, okay? And so one of the things that you can do is you can go to marketwatch.com, okay, marketwatch.com. Now, I'm not going to name any of the banks, the black-owned banks, but if you, before, pull up marketwatch.com, but before you do that, the bank that you are considering putting your money into, in quotations, search parent company of whatever the name of that bank is, okay? And so after a couple of Google searches, or perhaps in the first search, you're going to find the parent company of that bank. When you find the parent company of that bank, you're going to know who basically owns or controls the financial dealings and decisions of that bank, okay? Now, those that you see when in the bank when you go in there, those are the representatives of that bank, okay? And that actual facility, that bank may be 51% black-owned, so to speak, all right? But when someone comes, let me just say this. When people come to put their money into a bank, money just doesn't go into the teller's drawer or into the vault. It is taken from there and put into a parent bank or another bank. For example, years ago, when I decided that I received an academic scholarship, and I decided, you know, I didn't want to go to school because the Lord was coming back soon, and, you know, it just didn't make any difference, you know, for me to go. And it's so much harder when you do decide to go back because life is there, and so you have to work around life now. But what we used to do when I worked at that bank many, many years ago is that we used to take our money, okay, and it was a savings and loans, a small bank, like many of the black-owned banks, okay, and we would take our daily deposits, and we would take that and we would deposit it into our parent bank, which now would be, it's been bought several times, but today it's known as Wells Fargo, okay? So although we were a bank, we could make loans, we took CDs and made, you know, loans and all of these other things, we had a parent bank, and that parent bank was what is now called Wells Fargo. And so the shareholders of Wells Fargo pretty much controlled a lot of the financial decisions and investments that were made by that bank. So when you're moving your bank to a black-owned bank, make sure that you ask that branch manager, you ask that bank manager, who are the holders? Who is the parent company of this bank? Because the one thing you don't want to do is put your money into a bank with a company that has proven that they don't have your best interest at heart, that has a history of not lending money to minorities. If a bank is owned by X company, X banking company, and you know who they are, who have a history of not lending money to you, putting your money into a bank where the representatives are black and the officers at your local bank are black, but they still don't have the decision or the power to make the decisions on where the money is invested and who receives that money, we're going to find ourselves in the same situation, okay? So just do your due diligence for your own benefit. And also, when they come and say, aha, the joke is on you, you'll be knowledgeable of what actually happens when you put your money in any bank, all right? And that includes Minority Rand Bank. All right, I love you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Okay, so welcome to the Community Love Power Show, and we are really excited, as always, about our program for today. And we are talking about Black economic sovereignty, something that is very, very, very important. And what we have done is we brought two illustrious beings to our program this evening to be able to talk a little bit more about it. And that's Baba Maji and Baba Youssef. Both of them are in the family, the Black Sustainability Summit family and beyond, and they're also part of the Community Love Power family. So I wanted to say welcome to both of you. Baba Maji, welcome.
Peace and prosperity. How you doing, Mother?
Oh, I am just awesome. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm very excited about the conversation we're about to have. And Baba Youssef,
yes.
Welcome.
Peace and give thanks for having us and giving us the opportunity to get across some of our well-needed information and the outreach to the community and the program that we have to bring forth. You know, as they learn more and know more about it, they see it's a wonderful program, and it's definitely to enhance and to build the community as we speak. Thank you.
Amen. And that's so needed. So we're going to launch right into giving a little bit of information about each of you. So, Baba Youssef, since you're, you know, speaking at this time, tell us a little bit about, I know you are the Florida representative for the 40
yes,
Mile family.
Yes.
So, you know, tell us about you and how did you get involved in this? And we're going to then segue right into Baba Maji. He's the actual visionary. As far as I know,
right.
I interviewed him some months ago on the previous incarnation, Dimensions of Quantum. And then he also came in, participated in the Black Sustainability Summit. So then we'll segue
yes.
into that. So Baba Youssef, you know, I have to admit you, I've known you, you know, a lot of years, so I kind of know, you know, some things about you. And so I know, for example, that you're a master gardener and you put a lot of time and energy, you know, into just the cultivation of food, which is the other side. That's a very huge part of our abundance and our prosperity. So how did that aspect of your life lead you into being involved with economic empowerment through the 40 Mile family?
Well, it has always been a desire of myself to be involved in economic stability and economic upliftment of our people, because I have seen the struggle amongst our people I've traveled many different countries and I've seen it. And what are the main thing I've come to realize is that we have a lot of different talents, and these talents has never been, or it has been restricted to develop. And one of the main reason for that is lack of finance, lack of funding. I mean, when we go to the major or the main lending institutions, there's so many red tapes being put up and barriers being put up for us to even get a little loan. And these institutions have been established in our community. And many of our hard-earned dollars being put in, and none is coming back to redevelopment of the community. So I look at that as a mean of say, what if with all these people together, just put a dollar together for a month with all these people of African descent living in these different communities, we'd have a lot of money. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars for a month. Can you imagine for a year? So that was actually a friend of mine, Greg, in North Carolina. He had mentioned that to me and asked me how many people was living in South Florida, people of African descent. I took a wild guess, I said 500,000, not realizing it's way over that, it's in the million. And I'm saying, wow. When he mentioned that to me, I said, wow, that'd be good. But how do we do it? So the mechanism was not in place. The know-how, you know, the thought is there, and I guess there's a lot of different people have these thoughts. But when I met Brother Maji and he had mentioned this, a plan that he had that he was working on for years, I said, man, this will fit just in line with what, you know, I was thinking. Then he had mentioned the great brother Claude Anderson and Paulnomics. And when I look at what he was saying, I said, wow, but how do you do it? You know, that was the main thing that was missing out. And so I put it pretty much on the back burner. I said, you know what? Then I do one of the things that I love, which is farming. And one of the main things was getting real food, organic food without any pesticide, any farmer chemicals added. And then try to see how I could move this to the people from the farm or from the ground to your table. And as a raw foodist myself, you know, I do classes on raw food and bringing it to the community and all as well. So I say, hey, but we're still lacking something. So when Brother Maji come with a plan and explained to me what it is, it was a no-brainer for me. I say, you know what, I can do it. And being a regional manager for the state of Florida, I said, that's another way to bring it, bring the economical aspect with the health aspect, which is what we need. Our people are sick. So that was one of my, you know, gateway into the economical aspect of it, as, you know, in keeping a breath, a pace with, you know, the health aspect, because I'm also a health fanatic, if you want to call it that, you know. So they both go hand in hand, one without the other, to me, is lopsided. And that's, you know, a little bit about myself, you know, and what I do and, you know, things that I love to do.
You know? And, you know, and it's well said, because it's commonly said that there is no wealth without health. So, you know,
exactly.
Dealing with, you know, both sides of the equation is essential.
Right.
So, you know, big up the work that you're doing, because it's essential. And, you know, let's keep it moving forward. And let's, you know, invite the community, those who have no, you know, formal knowledge, stay listening, because we're going to make sure you have contact information for our guests as well as our co-host, Dr. Jatta. Are you there, Dr. Jatta?
Yes, I'm here listening to these established individuals here, people with a plan and action towards the plan.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I have the honorable position of being able to converse and you know, be exposed to illustrious beings who are doing so many things, and it's so inspiring, and it helps all of us keep our eye on the prize to know what each other are doing. So, Baba Maji, thank you again for coming to the program. I know a little bit about you too, Baba Maji. I know you and all of the three of you are strong family men, strong family brethren, you know, who are leaving a legacy for future generations. And tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved in this massive mission. And once you do that, answer this one question that has already popped in, which is, okay, the whole Marcus Garvey movement and what happened and why did not that succeed with a similar idea? Mm. So that's a two-part question.
Okay, so let me delve into that question real quick first, and then I'll go into a little bit about myself. So if we look at what has been done and it has not worked, the only way to move forward is to make it work. If you have a car that you're driving and the starter goes out, you don't let that car, if it's worth it, you don't let that car sit for years and years and years, and all it needs is a starter. See, sometimes in our plans and the things that our forefathers and foremothers have bought, it did not work in our eyes. But when they were doing it, it worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
It is up to each generation to take what did not work and fix that starter so now that we can keep driving on down the road. Because we know one thing is a must. Our people must keep moving. We cannot stay in the same place, and we cannot stay stagnant. This is the information age. If we don't use the information we have as movement and health and wealth and power and success for us, then what good is the information that we have in the information age? And that's how I would answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Fix the starter, fix whatever it is that needs to be fixed, but for sure, keep the train moving.
Very, very good.
Thank you, thank you. So I got into this. You know, I'm a social scientist. I'm a nerd, okay? I'm probably one of the coolest nerds you'll meet, but I am a nerd.
I'm a nerd, too, so we're akin.
Hey, all right.
Absolutely.
Give me a big old fellow nerd in the house. But we have a tendency as nerds. We have a tendency, those of us that love information and love our people. I'm a social scientist. I looked at my life, and I said, you know what? I graduated from college 3 times. I have two bachelor's degrees, actually. I did a double major, but in political science and communications, I graduated with both of those, 2 and 1. And then I went and got 2 master's degrees, one in elementary education. I could teach anything, K through 8th grade, any subject, any classroom, self-contained, anything. Doesn't matter. Special education, doesn't matter. And then I went and got another master's degree in education leadership, so I can be a dean of a college or a community college or a principal. And right now I'm an administrator at a school in Detroit, Michigan. So what I said in 2006, and it had always been on my mind, but I'd already flown all over the country, been to several other parts of the world and things of that nature, and I'd always seen us in the ghettos, always seen us all over the world, all over this country, in the ghettos, in dire situations where other people have large amounts of health access to them, large amounts of wealth access to them, but our people have little to none. And I said, you know what, as a social scientist, it is my job to fix this. So I went to the drawing board, and in 2006, I created what I call a national economic plan, the 40-mile family national economic plan. Because as I studied other cultures, and I studied them extensively for over 20 years, I interviewed other cultures extensively, the wealthy cultures, wealthy families in this United States of America. I've interviewed most of them from other cultures. And what I found is they have a national economic plan. Now, they didn't tell me that they had a national economic plan. It's something when I brought back to the table all the research that I gotten, I discovered they have a national economic plan. So I looked at our people and I said, we do not have a national economic plan. This is something that we must have. So national economic plan. Let me give you an example real quick. National economic plan. When the East Indian comes over to this country from India, the first thing they purchase is not houses. Is not cars, is not clothes, is not jewelry. They purchase those little cheap motels on the side of the highway.
Right, yeah.
Okay? And anywhere in this country, when you're driving down the highway, you drive off to the side of the road, you see that these East Indians own these little cheap motels. You know, they're about $30 a night, $40 a night, $50 a night, okay? So when they bring their relatives over here from India, that's where they stay. All of them stay in those hotels. They purchase houses at a minimum. They purchase those businesses first. That's a national economic plan if all of them are doing that. So now they are able to live in the United States with a business. Because essentially, if you're living in capitalism, in the largest free market economy in the world, and you don't have a business, essentially you are in the rat race of paying bills. What kind of life is that? Why cannot our people enjoy business, enjoy owning their own island, their own airlines, our own Walmart, our own Home Depot? We can. We just have to have a national economic plan, a plan that any common sense person can step in and be a leader and create their own business from it. Simple economic plan. So in 2006, I created one. And I went out all over this country in 2006, 2007, and 2008. And, yes, I had tomatoes thrown at me, and I had eggs thrown at me, but that was okay. I had all kind of questions thrown at me that I couldn't answer because the plan was incomplete. So I stopped in 2008. I finished those 2 master's degrees. I had some babies along the way, my wife and I. And I said, you know what? It's time to start back. I went back to the drawing board, completed the plan from all of those questions and things of that nature and all of those happenings that I experienced when I went all around the country. And in 2014 of December 2014, we started back with a complete 40-mile family national economic plan, and now we have thousands of people on board. And it is a wonderful thing to see. And that's what I would share with you about me at this juncture.
Wow, and that's so powerful and inspiring. I love the part, you know, of the challenge and the, you know, the eggs and the tomato, which, you know, it allowed you to reassess and look at what still needed to be done. And, you know, it was just such an opportunity. You know, those experiences are opportunities and part.
It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity
that come in the form of tomatoes and eggs.
Become well seasoned.
Okay. So that takes us to the family, the 40-mile family, the credit union, and how is that? How did that get going? And tell us about it, and how can we get involved with it? And
sure,
that's
sure,
both,
no.
Bobby Youssef and you, Brother Maji, can, you know, tag team or however you want to.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, I think what I'm going to do is ask Bobby Youssef about the Florida part. Okay, we just lost someone. Let's see, who is that? That was Dr. Jata. He will call back in.
Okay.
So what we want to do is, you know, find out about the credit union and what that entails and why a credit union. And then, Bobby Youssef, you can chime in and share with us about the Florida aspect of it and what's going on in Florida and what's coming up next. And both of us, you know, both of you can share contact info. So.
Sure, sure. So we definitely, we have way more that we accomplish and that we do beyond the credit union. Okay. In 12 months. Baba Youssef picks a seed and he plants it into the ground, him and any other farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many months, you see and you produce a harvest. So when you invest your money into something, when you put your time into something and your energy, you should be able to see a harvest within at least a year's time. Now, we know that the average ROI or rate of return is 5 years. And by the way, I'm not a financial analyst. I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an attorney and things of that nature, but I am an educator, and I am a social scientist, and I have the credentials and experience to back it up. But what I do know is that a little yeast leavens the loaf. So what we do in 40 Mile, and we don't give out all of the details over the airways and things of that nature, because you don't beat nobody at no game, no chess game, by telling them what your next move is. And this is indeed a chess game, because we as a people, people of Aboriginal indigenous descent have been chosen to be consumers. We have not been chosen in this world to be in power positions, you see. But we don't like the choices that other people have made for us, so we're making a conscious choice ourselves. But 40 Mile Family, what we do is we consciously merge our families together, and we do this by the thousands. We do this by the millions. You see, and those families, they contribute small amounts of money every single month. Same thing like the national economic plan that the Asians have. In less than 30 years, they took over the beauty industry. Because behind the scenes, have you ever wondered why a beauty supply can be right next door to another Asian-owned beauty supply across the street from another Asian-owned beauty supply? It's because behind the scenes, they have a national economic plan.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is merge families together, and those families contribute their time, their money, their resources, and they merge one habit together, and that's how we survive. And from that, we purchase in 1 year our own banking institution in the form of a credit union in your region. We purchase at least two factories that are tailored to the need of your region, and we build a wellness center, that has a restaurant, a massage parlor, or a birthing center in it. It has a grocery store and many other wonderful things that we do. We create 8 different diverse streams of income for every family member in just 1 year. And we do that together.
Wow. Powerful.
Thank you. Thank you. And in terms of Florida, we have Brother Youssef, and we also have in North Florida, we have Sister Camilla and Camilla Barnes. And the two of them, I'm telling you, Florida is on fire, because and other parts of the country is on fire as well, because there's a frequency in the universe now that says we must do something together. You know, and lastly, I'll just 10 seconds real quick. The biggest lie ever told is that we pull ourselves up by our own bootstrap. In fact, we are the only ethnic group to believe in this false lie, this ideology of the American dream, you pull yourself up by your own bootstrap. No other culture does that, especially in the largest free market economy in the world. In the capitalism, no other culture pulls themselves up by their own bootstrap. All other cultures live in the same communities. They eat in the same communities. They play in the same community. They bury their dead in the same community. And they work in the same community. Well, they build businesses in our communities and work and get millions of dollars, billions of dollars to take care of them and their families. That's not pull yourself up by your own bootstrap. Baba Youssef, can you share some of the things we're doing in Florida?
Oh, yeah, man, most definitely. One of the main things we are doing, that I am doing in Southern Florida, is to meet on a regular basis, at least, you know, twice a month with different members. Also, we institute what we call a source or a partner for those who might have a little challenge coming up with the funds to meet the because we got to set target time. We don't want to make everybody think that, yeah, they are part, and there's an urgency in what we're doing. So I have to set a time frame that we need to meet this by a certain time so that we can have something tangible so our people can see, yes, this is what our agreement is. This is what, when we put our resources and our mind together, this is what we can accomplish. And that's what I'm working on right now. You know,
absolutely.
So that's
so
one of the major things.
In South Florida,
yeah, go
I'm just going to horseback ride with you, brother. In South Florida, we are purchasing our own gas station because we know that, and we're doing that in the next 4 to 5 months. And because we know once we get all of our people in Florida, we're looking and we merge 3,000 people in South Florida. So once we get all of those 3,000 people in South Florida to contribute the certain amount that they contribute, we generate over $1 million a year. So once we get those people in South Florida, then we are purchasing our first business together, which is a gas station. Why? Because a few weeks ago, the gas station closed in South Carolina and North Carolina.
North Carolina.
So when they closed in North Carolina, how did our people move around and get to their loved ones? You see, those who own the gas station, the Arabs that own the gas station, by the way, because that's a part of their national economic plan, they were able to put a closed sign on the door, but the gas is still underneath the ground in the gas tanks, you see. So their family members can come and get gas, and they can travel anywhere they want in the time of a catastrophe and check on their family members. If the grocery store is closed today, what would our people do? What would we do if the grocery store is closed? Mother Yael, what would we do if the grocery store is closed today?
Well, if we don't have any food, then we have grown and preserved through, and you can learn that through our Living Foods class, certification class of how to, you know, to have food to preserve in a way that's consistent with the body. You know, nothing, you know, people are out of luck basically. So it's very important, very important.
And that's why the first question you asked, I'm so glad you asked that question, is because we can't let the train sit
and all it needs is a starter. If we
right.
need grocery stores, then we need to go out and we need to have our own grocery stores. We need to have our own farms, and that we do.
Farm.
We've amassed 1,000 acres already. We have a farm with over 1,000 acres, one of our family members. So we grow natural organic fruits and vegetables. So if the grocery store is closed, we still can feed our families within our family network, you see. And we still have our own water, our own alkaline water and things of that nature. What would we do if the gas station is closed, Mother Yael? If the gas station is closed today all over the country, what would we do?
Well, it would be the same thing. We wouldn't, in our current status, we wouldn't have access to it. It would just happen here just a little while ago that there was no gas on Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if we know that there's a problem, it would not be a problem without a solution. So instead of focusing on problems as a people, we must focus on a solution. And that's what the 40 Mile Family National Economic Plan does for us.
And also, as a segue to that, we also incorporate the farms and local farmers, people of, you know, for lack of term, African descent, and instilling in them, we also have an education aspect as the reason why we should have our own food. And do not allow someone else to feed you, because when somebody else feeds you, you do not know what is in the food. You know, and that is another crucial aspect with the health aspect of it. And that's where the health come in. And that is why it's so important as well for we to have a wellness center with the different modalities, you know, whether it be acupuncture, chiropractor. And it has to be our people that are in charge of these things, because we know our people, and we know each other, and we trust each other, and that is why we also move along that line as well.
That's it. Because we cannot sit and say, you know what, and we already know these things. This is the age of information. We know that in the vaccinations that our children are being injected with Alzheimer's, and they're being injected with autism, they're being injected with ADHD and ADD and all the rest of the D's on the chart. I thought there was only one D in the alphabet, but when you come to education, there's all these extended D's. We need to eliminate that thing,
yeah.
You see, and develop our own systems and structures. One thing that led me to do this is I have a large family, and I don't want them at my transition, my celebration of life in my elder years, my celebration of life, saying, well, my father was smart, but what tangible did he leave me? You see, too many times we have to ante up if somebody makes a transition. We have to go into the community and ante up to bury them. That's over with. That time is over with. You see, because if you need something, my Mother Yael, if you need something and you have 3,000 people at your disposal, if all of them gave you a dollar, that takes care of your emergency needs. And you keep going afloat so that we have nobody within our family network that perishes or expires or falls by the wayside. We hold each other up. We hold each other accountable because we love each other and we are concerned about each other's economic wherewithal and our wherewithal over the world.
And, you know, and that's a good place. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. And, you know, but that is a good place for us to move into the next stage, because this is just the launching point, you know, this program for, you know, the next stage of reaching out to the community. So what I would like to ask is your heartfelt closing remarks. And we'll start with you, Brother Maji, because you're already speaking. What are your heartfelt closing remarks to our community that you want to leave in there,
sure,
as a legacy?
Sure. The closing remark that I would say is definitely get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
We are an emotional people. We're a spirit people. That's why we're so emotional at times.
Yeah.
And one thing our people refuse to do is organize. We have to get in front of these issues and organize. If you see a plan, and by the way, the 40 Mile Family is well beyond a plan. It's well beyond a vision. We are in motion. We are uh, in We are full-fledged adults at this point because we'll be building in Michigan, Florida, and Texas this time next year, all of those businesses that I named. And we're in 22 parts of the country, and we're also international as well. So we're well beyond a vision. But when people hear about what we're doing, don't just listen to it and let it sit on your emotion and get excited about it. Get excited about it and move. Because movement is the only way that you generate wealth and power for you and at least 1,000 generations from now. That's what I would leave with our people. I would also leave our contact information. You
Please.
Can contact us at our national office at fmf40mile@gmail.com. fmf40mile@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call. At the national office at 734-945-5263, and that's what I would share with the family at this juncture. Or you can contact Baba Yusuf right there in Florida. It'll be so much easier. You can contact him right there in Florida. But that's what
okay.
I would leave it to our people. Get up
okay.
and get moving.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got an international reach, so whatever's comfortable, wherever you feel to, you know, to rope in terms of our listeners, you know, call both of the brothers. Baba Yusuf, what are your closing heartfelt remarks and your contact info, please?
Well, my closing remark is this. We know that the issue of trust is a problem with our people. But a lot of time, the scamming that is done is not done so much by our people. It's by these major lending institutions that will open up account in their customer name without they even know about it. You know, we have a recent example of Wells Fargo, CEO in Atwaters. All we have to do, I'm in the community, you know me, and those who know me know that I'm a man of integrity. But keep me in art and keep me, hold me to the fire, to the test, and see if what I'm saying is not true. And just come on board. Don't be afraid, because if we do not act now, 1,000 years from now, our great-great-grandchildren will be having the same conversation, and we do not have the time. The time is now. We cannot waste more time to say, let me sit by the wayside and think about it. Let's act upon it and let's do it. Let's do it now. And that's my closing remark.
And how do we get in touch with you, Baba Yusuf?
Yes, my info, you can reach me. The best number would be 954-371-9746. That is 954-371-9746. Or simple and raw, you know, 444@gmail.com. And that's my... The other side, what I do in terms of the farming, natural foods, you know, and raw foods, you know. Either way, you can either call me or email me, either one, you know, we can take it from there.
Well, we definitely have to have both of you come back, you know, to the program. We can do a whole program on the food or even a series, you know, because there's so much around food, the growing of the food, and, you know, to raise the consciousness and to let people know of the resources that are available. And I would love to get Sister Kalila involved, you know, from Orlando or North Florida in the conversation to, you know, to bring in that aspect to find out what she's doing and how she's reaching out to the community.
Right.
So, you know, perhaps we can orchestrate that for between
Most
now
definitely,
and, the,
definitely.
And the summit coming up. And we'll talk more about the Black Sustainability Summit that'll be coming up. I have to get more info so I can share it with you. So, you know, just stay tuned to the Community Love Power Show. This is Yah Elohim, and I am just really grateful that we were able to do this. I'm going to,
oh, wonderful.
You know, definitely invite you all to come back again, to come forward to the program, and we continue the conversation. So I am going to end recording
definitely.
At this moment. And so that was the recorded interview. That was a great interview. And we definitely are going to have our guest return, as well as Dr. Jatta, who ended up having technical challenges with getting back into the call after several attempts. He was not able to do that. So we're going to listen to our Buying Club promo and share just a little bit more info, and then we will end the program. But in the spirit of the 40 Mile family, in the spirit of Dr. Claude Anderson, Marcus Garvey, and many others, we start organizing on a grassroots level right where we are with whom we connect with. So based on that, Dr. Jatta and I were inspired to organize the Ujamaa Purchasing Collective. So here's a little info about it. We would love for you to join, because the more of us that work together, the less things cost that we're already buying, and that's the concept. Check this out.
Greetings. This is Dr. Jatta Rahim.
And this is Yah Elohim. And we are the People's Clinic.
The People's Clinic.
We have a new, fun, and powerful project, and we want you to be a part of it. It's the Ujamaa Cooperative Purchasing Collective. And basically, it's a buying club.
A buying club is a collaborative effort on several groups, families, organizations, or individuals, to combine their resources and leverage their purchasing dollar. Buying club can be as huge as Sam's or Costco that operate for profit, to a cooperative group of friends, family members, or religious groups that decide they want to pay less for what they need.
Our buying club would be considered small, and it's not for profit. It's just about us pooling our capital to buy the things we already buy for less. For example, household products, especially the natural ones, can be a bit costly. By pooling our resources and purchasing wholesale, dividing up the shipping and hazmat costs, if any, still allows us a good savings, 20 to 50% in most cases. And because we are also developing relationships with product brokers, we can envision offering an even greater savings.
The basic idea with buying club is the larger the purchase, the greater the savings. So we want to buy at least one case or one wholesale unit of whatever it is that we're purchasing. In the case of a CSA, a community-supported agricultural program, we may want to buy more than one subscription. It depends on how many people want to participate.
There's a small annual fee to join the buying club and a small monthly fee to keep your membership active. This covers the cost of managing the buying club, including keeping you informed of upcoming purchases.
If there is something you want to purchase, consider buying a larger amount or presenting it to the buying club as a group purchase.
For example, this month we're buying hydrogen peroxide, that's the food grade, neem capsules, frankincense, Dr. Bronner's soap, holy basil herb, Dr. Sabi's products, teff grain, activated charcoal, mini moxa, spirulina, fresh whole pomegranates, and much, much more. What do you need to buy? For more information, go to the Buying Club's website. That's ujamaapurchasingcollective.webs.com, or call Dr. Jatta at 786-222-9526, or Yah Elohim, 561-855-0593.
Thanks for listening. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. Peace. Enjoy the gifts of life. Come join the collective. So in the spirit of Ujamaa, we can even work together to join the 40 Mile family. There's nothing that we are limited to. We're only limited by our lack of imagination. So we really are buying things. Each and every one of us are buying the things that we need. So it's all about us pooling our resources, we can save and be able to leverage our purchasing dollar to be able to support these efforts and many more. So that's the message for today. We're going to close out the program with another information encouraging us to work together. And I was really debating which one I want to do, because I always at the end have more than one thing to work with. So we're going to end with work together. And when we launch our next program, we'll bring in some of the music that we didn't get to play. Our upcoming program on Wednesday is going to actually be the one that was scheduled for last Wednesday. We had a technical glitch. I apologize for that. We were not able to air that. So we're going to air it on this Wednesday coming, which is about the post-traumatic stress disorder. Does meditation really help? And you want to join, because even if you don't have major outbreak of PTSD, we all have stress. And these techniques that we're going to be sharing on the upcoming program can help each and every one of us with the stressful conditions that we encounter in our daily lives. This is Yah Elohim, and I'm signing off. We're going to end with Santa Farai featuring Tippa Irie, and it's all about working together. Love you to life. See you on Wednesday. And don't forget to join the Buying Club. Peace.
Well, in this time, the only way we're going to move forward is if we stick together. Well, this is Mr. Irie Link Up with Sun Eye with a message from the Most High. Well, look on to this. And the out.
Why you take passing that in dirty work? Play with fire, then you help me get burned. Let's work together. I'm getting serious now. We've got to get ourselves in order. I don't care what you wanna say. All of we have fought short along the way. I've got to bring it to attention. How many remember the mission? Well, looking around, so much segregation. Struggling to get things done. Let's work.
Everybody talk.